Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights, conversations exploring network transformation through interviews with industry experts.
Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights. I'm Allison Klein. We're coming to you live from the NFV World Forum event in San Jose, and I'm joined by Adam Dunston, VP of SDN and NFV Engineering at CenturyLink. Welcome, Adam.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
So, Adam, why don't we just start with a background on CenturyLink and your role there and how that fits into the overarching industry transition of networks to virtualization.
Yeah, we started our journey towards virtualization quite some years ago now. We're, I think, at least our third or fourth iteration of virtualization for network services in the infrastructure. I came to the company about 9 months ago as part of an acquisition, and one of the things that I was asked to look after was our continuing development of our NFV infrastructure. And I look after the development part of it, not the operations part of it. And so we have a traditional carrier model where we have an operations team and development teams. And of course, one of our many challenges is how we merge those things together to this new world of managing a very different infrastructure than we kind of have today.
Obviously, CenturyLink is running one of the largest network infrastructures in North America. Tell me about what you've seen in terms of the perception of network function virtualization and trust in that technology in terms of a deployable technology and operations. And where do you think we need to go in terms of innovation?
Yeah, it's a difficult question because it's not really about trust. It's more about process and how do we get our processes to work the right way. A question I've been asked quite a lot of times is NFV carrier grade? And, you know, it's a really interesting thing to think about for a second. Who says something's carrier grade?
Right.
Not a vendor. A carrier does, right? And so we say when something's carrier grade, as do our competitors in the marketplace, they go and say that. And so we have a set of processes that we use to test products for deployment, and it's the integrity of those processes that makes a product carrier grade. And so we have to apply those processes or those disciplines in a somewhat different way because they were built around a structure of the network and a structure of an organization that was different. So we have to maintain the integrity of our verification infrastructure while we change the processes that we get in the path to get into that place of reliability that's sufficient, you know, to meet our customers' needs.
I would think it's a closed loop process then in terms of what you get as feedback from those processes and validation or whatever you want to call it into the next wave of development for your organization.
And we do largely development and development all the way into things like the things that we used to buy from our vendor partners. We still buy many things from our vendor partners, but we now build things as well. And so the challenge around maintaining that closed loop system is one, fitting into it in a different way, because we're also trying to address transparency inside the organization so we all, you know, get better at running this. And then the other part is how do we increase velocity? You know, so one of the things we're working through today is how do we, instead of going down this path of the product was complete from the vendor, then it goes into our test organization. When it was in the vendor's organization, it was going through iterations of SQA testing, right? Mm-hmm. So there's an SQA is an iterative testing when you're a vendor. Testing is in the carrier world is it's now ready, now I'll test it. It doesn't have the level of iteration. So as we merge those two together, we're trying to get it to be iterative. And the challenge often is just simply reporting up to leadership that we are X percentage into the first iteration of our testing. And they're so used to this being a block. You started on this day, you'll be done by this day, as opposed to having it iterated inside engineering. That gets us velocity. And the key outcome that we're seeking out of this, of course, we want to have new services and improve reliability, but we want to increase velocity. Everybody knows that carrier networks are extremely labor-intensive to run. It's not new news to anybody who's looked around. And it's also not new news that it takes us longer than perhaps it should to bring services up. And so the best way we can help drive our bottom line is to increase velocity.
Now that leads perfectly into my next question. You're doing a fireside chat here at the event on infrastructure automation. Are we there yet? Obviously, automation has a lot to do with the velocity we are able to achieve. What's your perspective on that question?
Well, it's a long road. And so when I talk about this internally, and we have a whole program of internal educational series for our employees, particularly in the organization we call PDNT, which is our engineering organization. When I talk about these presentations, we talk about our journey to SDN and NFV, and that's exactly what we're on, is a journey to this. So we're somewhere into it. An interesting anecdote on this one is We were deploying a new service, something we put into production last year. It's our data center interconnect service that's virtualized. And I looked at this service and I'm like, we haven't finished the automation here yet. I mean, we should not be going forward. So I started to stop the process as we put this into production, as we're doing the beta phase, and said, we got more work to do here. The product manager calls me up and he goes, Adam, you know, the process that you're replacing with using traditional equipment has 14 steps for activation that someone undertakes, right? This new one has 3 steps or 4 steps. I can't remember exactly the number. Don't quote me. But he said it's less steps. And so I realize it's not what you want it to be, but it's a lot better than what we have. So this is a good step. So we should do this. And, you know, we obviously want to be at, you know, 0 steps in this process. We'd like a customer to click on a website, click, 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 and that be fully automated. But going from 14 to 5 is a good step, and going from 14 to 1, which is our next step, and then going through full automation, all of those are powerful steps for the company.
You know, it's an interesting juxtaposition from where I think some heads are in the marketplace, where if we imagine it, then all of a sudden it's working. What message would you have back to the industry on this point in terms of driving further innovation around automation?
When we think about automation, most of the time we focus on simplicity. We are wound up in complexity and we revel in increasing amounts of complexity, and we already inherit a pile of complexity. We already have a very complex system. We have a portfolio of products that defies imagination. So everybody comes in with something that's even more complex again. And we're on a very different path here. We're down the path of how do I get simplicity? Because reducing permutations really doesn't require a whole lot of engineering work to create simplicity. If you have less things to do, you have less things to do. Mm-hmm. So our path to simplicity is a continuous reduction of permutations. And so by doing that, we do less work to get more automation. And of course, that's the benefit that the web scale guys have, right? They started from scratch and haven't got all this baggage to carry behind it. So when the industry comes to us and says, I've got something even more complicated that solves this really complicated problem, I kind of go, I'm not that interested in this. I mean, bring me something that's simpler. Let's figure out how to do this simpler. The challenge for the industry is when we cut this down to its minimum set of parts, how do you figure out the cost value curve? And I think that's a challenge for people who are selling products and services to us to figure their way through. Because it's not uncommon knowledge when you go and look at any traditional piece of equipment. Out of the feature set, we use about 20-25% of the features on any one of these devices, yet we pay for 100% of them. And this is not new news to anybody.
Right.
And so our simplification exercise, in a big part, is reducing down to what we really use. And if we can just do that, and then do the engineering around that, it actually is not a massively intractable problem for us as we reduce our permutations and then write tooling for our permutations. It's a big problem for someone who's trying to build a product to sell to all of the carriers with the combination of all their permutations into the solution they're trying to sell, and then try and go and extract value at that price. It's a very hard problem to solve. I don't know how you solve it.
Right.
So we go down this in a whole different path. We say, what do we need? And in fact, it's as simple in many cases. For example, we're working in the area of white boxes. I mean, we don't use certain routing protocols. We don't not configure them. We don't compile them into the image. Mm-hmm. So therefore, they can't fail. Right? We can't have a failure associated with a piece of software that we never really use that's wound into something, because it simply isn't there.
Well, that's a great example of a lot of challenges with products. I just bought a new car, and it came with an appointment with somebody to teach you how to use the infotainment system. And it's like, oh my God, now I have to be trained how to
it's
use
terrible,
my car.
It? Yeah,
right?
It's terrible, isn't it?
Maybe some great features, but not necessarily benefits to me.
Yeah.
So I think that you bring up a really good point. So when you talk about where you are today, which seems like to be an intermediary step towards a vision of full automation of differentiated services, when do you think you're going to hit that point? And
tomorrow and never, right? I mean, so in some cases tomorrow, in some cases we'll kind of never get there, right? We have objectives. And so to give you some sense, more than 50% of our network is under STN control today, is under automation control. And so we're a long way into this. We have services running in, you know, more than 30 CIOs and data centers today that are virtualized. We have thousands of VMs running production loads. We have 3 sets of key services that we run on virtualization. You know, we run SD-WAN, we run network-based firewall services, and we run data center interconnect services across those complexes. And they're all at different levels of automation. Some of them are very automated. Some of them have manual aspects associated with it. Our goal is really out of automation is to take our people resources and apply them to serving our customers, mm-hmm. right? This is why we're doing this, is to apply those people resources that are currently wound up in tapping on keyboards and looking at boxes. And we're putting automation in place so we can take this people resource that we have, which is a valuable resource, and apply that to the needs of our customers. And we see that's the path forward to automation. So do we want to automate everybody out of the process? No, we don't want to do that. What we want to do is apply our people to serve our customers more directly.
Well, thank you so much for spending time with us today. It was a real pleasure. Would love to have you back to hear more about this journey.
Certainly.
At CenturyLink.
Great. Thanks very much. I appreciate it.